Jason Lee Podcast.
Welcome back to an all-new episode of the Jason Lee Podcast. You know what I love about the digital space? When you can't afford a real live audience, you just make one. Right?
Facts.
If you think about it, it's kind of scary how, like, right now the world is evolving so much with technology that everything we knew growing up as kids is not going to be the same anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, we grew up, you know, with Nickelodeon and the whole that show where they used to do the slime on people. Oh, yeah. And now look at the slime over there on the wall. We have just this fake slime out of a cup, this plastic thing. The world is changing. And AI is changing the world, too. I have to show you a project that we just recently did. I'm going to give credit to Rob, myself, and Sean Super Nerd, a.k.a. Sean Harrison, a.k.a. Super Nerd, our creative director. We had an event last night, which by now the whole world is seeing because it went viral, to raise money for my nonprofit Hollywood Cares Foundation. And all of us that have been doing the work here at Hollywood Unlocked and all of you watching the work at home, you know the work, the I Am Ready initiative that we launched in Stockton, California, where I'm running for city council. But anyway, we launched this nonprofit over a year ago. And this is work that we started over 10 years ago that was delayed. And we all know a dream delayed ain't a dream denied, especially when you're me. And we did a nonprofit dinner last night to raise money. And of course, we had special guests in the building. But before we get to the special guests, all the guests got a booklet because I'm not somebody to write speeches. I like to just speak from the heart, but I like to have a guide. And I typically will have bullet points, sort of like today's show, where I'll have bullet points kind of telling me what I'm going to be talking about. And then I try to go from the heart because I really feel like when something's in your heart and if you're really passionate about it, the story can be told no other way. And so we created a book. Before I show people the book, when I called you on your way to dinner and a movie and said, we have to figure out this book, which was really about less than a week before the event, me, you, and Sean sat on the Zoom and we came up with this book called Dreams Unlocked. When I was calling you about this, what did you think? Did you think we were going to figure it out?
Oh, I mean, we always figure it out. So that wasn't a worry, but we were about to call Sean. It was like midnight here, so I know it was like 3 a.m. there. And of course, Sean picked up and we sat on that Zoom for about an hour and organized that book.
A little over an hour.
Yeah.
And we went page by page of what it would look like, what it should look like. Sean was, you know, dreaming out the creative. Rob was kind of helping me on the structure and what about this poem and this and this. I mean, the three of us together, unstoppable at this point. This is the book, Dreams Unlocked. And this is my baby photo that Sean took and turned into something else. This is AI, people. I'm telling y'all, y'all that don't like AI, hey, I'm an AI fanatic. But anyway, the book is called Dreams Unlocked, and the subtext is investing in the imagination of a child. And we use my baby photo, and this is the one baby photo that I have right when my mother got addicted to drugs. I remember this was the era. I was going into the era of, you know, all the things that I've been through. And then when you open the book, oh, I thought this was the one that with the autographs. Anyway, I don't know who Matilda is, but Matilda, I got your book. Okay. Everybody at the dinner last night got their name written in calligraphy. So Matilda probably was so caught up on all the guests there that she didn't realize her book had been jacked. But this is the actual baby photo right here. And so it's just such a beautiful book. And it just goes on and on. And we put so much detail into this book. This book is not available for sale. It is a book that was handed out to all the guests that came last night. And on the back of the book, because the creative thought was we would start with like the imagination of a child and then the imagination once the child has arrived into who he has was destined to become. And so this is my city council photo, AI interpreted, of course. But anyway, what did you think of the book?
Stunning from page to page. I cannot believe you guys did that in the time span that you guys had. But the perfect touch too was a little calligrapher who came table person by person, table by table, and she said, what's your name, and made it. So now it's gonna be on my coffee table forever.
Listen, I think my homage to Oprah is one thing she would say every time she would do a show or do an event or something, it was always the details, you know. Mm-hmm. It was the details that matter. And you know, we don't got that Oprah budget, but we do what we can. We ball on a budget over here. We did a phenomenal job. The team pulled it together yesterday, and the story behind how it came together is still, I'm still in awe. I really don't even have the words to express, you know, the gratitude for how it all came together. But I'm going to tell you the story. Those of you that have been following my personal journey, you know, I went home plan to help the city, help the young people. Lots of young people, you know, their dreams are being, you know, ended early because they're being killed or they're not provided opportunity. There's nothing for kids to do, literally. Went there to raise $1 million from the city, and I said I would match it with $1 million, and we do this $2 million two-year program for young people, the I Am Ready Initiative. Everybody thought that this was some new idea that I had. This was an idea I had back in 2012. We tried to do it then. The city was not ready. They did everything they could to stop us and to prevent us to be able to launch these programs back in 2012 and 13. They attacked me personally every day. They did everything they could, and they did delay it because I wasn't at a place in my life where I was ready. I didn't have all the relationships to really sustain the programming. I had the big heart and the vision, but I didn't have all of what it was going to take to keep moving the ball forward. But you know what I did? I just went back and I did the work. I built the platform. I built my credibility in the space with people in the industry. I worked hard to develop relationships with people who have money and resource. And then when I circled back and thought it was time to do it about a year and a half ago, we were met with lots of support. And then there was a city councilman who had the audacity, with all the support I had come to the city with, to tell me that I should just go ask my rich friends, Floyd Mayweather and Rihanna, to do it. If you don't believe he said that, if you can't believe a human being would say that to an individual who's literally pouring out their heart in a city that he made it out of and at a time where it was needed the most, if you can't believe he said that to me, take a look.
You talk about Rihanna, you talk about Mayweather, they're great friends with you. Why can they, have they ever done a fundraiser for you? Where's your background? I mean, on this, do you have a social, you know, social worker background?
Do you remember when that happened?
I do. And I thought it was crazy, especially with the fact that there were so many members of the community who had come out because they were tired of seeing their children experience violence. They were tired of seeing the kids in the community feel like they didn't have hope for, you know, a future. And there were kids there like Malcolm who were speaking up and saying they wanted these programs to come to the city, you know, so they can, you know, see change come for themselves. And they made that statement in front of all of those people when they were, they're the people sitting up on that panel who are supposed to affect change for that community. Mm-hmm. That was crazy to me.
Yeah.
It was insulting and crazy.
Yeah.
The fact that he even dropped that name and then yesterday it just like made it a full complete circle because he said, let Rihanna do it.
Well, you got to be careful what you say because God's always listening, especially when you're talking to his kids. You know, Rihanna's been watching, everybody's been watching the work we've been doing in Stockton. You know, I went back and decided to run for office and we just won the primary. I'm going to go ahead and give myself another round of applause. Me and my team, shout out to the organizing team, our campaign team, and my youth campaign manager, Malcolm. Yes, we won the primary, but, you know, I felt like it was necessary to step up a lead. And in the book, I talk about stepping up to leadership and being the example for the kids to who are watching, you know, what civic engagement looks like and how they can participate in the process, which is why I do have a six-year-old campaign manager. But in the booklet, there's a part in the book that I included, and this was Rihanna. Well, this is Rihanna, and this is Rihanna as a kid. Where is it at? Let me get over here. This is Rihanna, and this is Rihanna as a kid. But what I included in the text was her speech from the NAACP Awards in 2020, where she says, so when we're marching, protesting, and posting about the Michael Brown Jr.'s and Atiana Jeffersons of the world, tell your friends to pull up. And I didn't even have to tell her to pull up. She pulled up on her own and offered to support a dinner to raise resources to help the young kids in Stockton because she heard about what was said. And yesterday she showed up. Let me just show you a photo from last night. Take a look. This was her and I as she entered. First of all, shout out to Mastermind Photo who did this amazing photo of us here. We both were wearing Rick Owens. Didn't even plan that to have a conversation. That's how you know we're kindred spirits. Do you have another one? Yeah, that's a closer image. You know, we got to get close. Anyway, stunning, stunning photo. Thank you so much, Rihanna, for seeing me, for seeing us, for seeing the work, for seeing the need, for being the change that the world needs. And more people need to be like Rihanna. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because, yes, she's a superstar. She's mastering business and beauty. And I mean, she's a mom. She's a hopefully soon to be wife, because you know, those two together, amazing. But she's just everything and embodies and emboldens beauty and passion and culture. And the fact that she has consistently saw me, saw the work that we're doing, understands the heart behind it all, and then showed up and stayed the entire night. How crazy was that?
Crazy. And to be in the room, I was watching her the whole time. She never was on her phone, just like scrolling through social. She was making eye contact with every single person. Like, she is everything she you would want her to be.
Yeah,
and she was so engaged with like Malcolm too. I thought that was adorable because she knew that was the purpose of what the night was about. And she really did like come in and embody that and embrace everybody that was in the room. So it was amazing.
Well, Malcolm, the 6-year-old campaign manager, is now probably the coolest kid in Stockton. He had his own little moment last night. Shout out to Malcolm, who walked up to Rihanna and handed her his business card. He handed Paris Hilton his business card. Everybody he came in contact with, he handed his business card. That kid is going to be more successful than me when he gets my age. But take a look at him and having his moment with them on the red carpet. Well, there was no red carpet, but at the photo booth. Take a look. That's Malcolm with Tiffany Haddish, Rihanna, and his business card, and Paris Hilton, and of course myself. But this is really what the work we're doing is about. It's really about inspiring the future of the world. And, you know, everything I say I want to do and everything I say I'm going to do, I do it with intention. I do it with heart. And I do it. And I have to say, shout out to Rob, the whole team, Lori at Wife of the Party, who else? Sean, I mean, just the band, the DJ, Shantae Moore for performing, Spinderella for DJing, everybody that showed up. Really loved seeing Paris Hilton there and Tiffany and just being able to share that moment with people who have had lived experiences. I think that most people are seen by a clip or a snapshot or a moment, and we don't go behind that to know more about them. And as I'm being vulnerable and sharing more about me and what my passion is and my vulnerabilities of what I've come through, I'm glad that people are showing up and seeing me and supporting the movement. But you can go to HollywoodCaresFoundation.org to learn more about the work that we're doing in Stockton and our plans to roll it out around the country. And there's so much coming, so just stay tuned on that. Any other moments of last night? Oh, you can't have somebody like Rihanna do a gift like showing up for you without showing up for them. And I did a gift for her and Rocky. So I was scrolling on Instagram and I found this artist named John Hill, who was phenomenal. And he had created these amazing, I don't know if it's acrylic or oil paintings of different artists and celebrities, but they're not just, it's not just art. It's art, masterpiece art. I saw the work. I DM'd him probably a week ago and asked him if he can do one of Rocky and Rihanna. And here's a photo of the artwork that he did. Take a look. What did you think about this when you saw it?
Sickening. Sickening. This, the detail and just the vibe of this photo, stunning. And he did it in 24 hours, he said, which is crazy.
Insanity. I wasn't just going to present this to her and Rocky. I wanted to make sure that he did it, because it's all about how we reach back. The whole idea of the event was reaching back, whether it's in our communities, creatives, just reaching back to people to make sure that we're pulling our people up, the culture up. And so this was a moment that happened in the middle of the night where we presented the painting to Rihanna. Take a look. Well, and of course, I couldn't have a moment and not share it with my good sis, Cardi B. She recently did an interview where she said she wanted to do a song with Rihanna. And I know she always shows up for me and Rihanna's going to be there. So why not put her right across from me? You know, that was really me terrorizing Cardi, because she's so shy and she's such a Libra and she loves Rihanna so much that she would probably never say anything without that moment. But I sat her right across from Rihanna and I said, "Hey Cardi, there's Rihanna." And Rihanna said, "Leave that girl alone." But they had moments last night and it was just really good to get them there. You saw Cardi perform.
Yes.
Bodak Yellow, iconic. And she tried to sneak away and you were like, mm-mm-mm. And
yeah. You tried to dip out, so I put your ass on the spot and had her the mic. But no, it was cool. She had a good time. So it was good seeing everybody there. Shout out to Joyner Lucas, all our other special guests, Benny Medina.
I mean, Gary V.
Gary V. Gary V. has been a mentor off social media in a way that I have to give him credit, because there are times as a Black-owned business where brands don't pour into you the way that they say they want to or the way that they should. And, you know, the generational gap in of wealth in black and brown and non-black and brown businesses is a real thing. And in our community, we know that. We know reparations is something that doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen for us as a people. And so Gary's been very instrumental in introducing us to all these Fortune 500 companies to get the millions and millions of dollars that they spend with our white counterparts. And so him being there with his fiance last night and being able to absorb our environment, know what we're doing, and now feel it. I mean, he walked away so inspired. So shout out to Gary Vee for his support of being there. And Money Matt, my partner in Healthcare Unlocked. It was great to see him there. I sat him next to Cardi, right between Cardi and Gary. And there was lots of conversation at that end of the table last night. All right. Well, enough about that. But yes, yeah, so I'm glad you guys had a good time. It was very overwhelming.
A lot.
I was like a kid in a candy store. I mean, again, I'm a humble person, regardless of how I come off sometime online. Rihanna.
It's that weird experience where I can't even like realize and comprehend that I'm in a room with all these people.
Yeah.
It was beyond. And it was so intimate, but everything was beautiful.
Well, look, Oprah said if you find yourself in a room, you belong there. Mm-hmm. I had to keep reminding myself that last night because it was like, who am I with Rihanna? And she smelled as good as she always does.
Yes.
All right. Well, I know you guys are like, this is great. Glad you had a dinner. I keep reading the comments and I'm going to always do this just so you know. They're like, can y'all just get to the tea? No, this show, yes, the tea is going to be sipped, but we have to talk about all the things we're doing in the world. You know, the one thing I do regret about my previous show that I used to do late night, I'm not even going to say the name of it, was it was straight to the jugular right out the gate.
Right out the gate,
you know,
just came in swinging,
and that's just not who I am. At least not anymore. I mean, the jugular, I definitely know where it is, and I know how to find it. But it doesn't need to be the only thing I go after every day. Sorry. Okay, let's get to the tea with Jason Lee. Rob's not going to Russia anytime soon.
Oh God, I knew that was coming.
Did you?
I did. I was expecting it.
Pause. Well, listen, Russia's now saying that the LGBT people are terrorists. That's what he's saying. They've added the LGBT movement to its terrorist and extremist blacklist. Now, two people have also been arrested since the new anti-LGBTQ+ laws. Now, before this, in April 2023, a gay TikTok couple first made headlines after getting arrested after violating Russia's anti-gay laws. Now, here's the couple, Chinese national, Chinese national, Haoyang Zhu, and Russian citizen, Jayla Goshevili. What's so funny? What?
You need to download Duolingo today.
Duolingo in Spanish, fool. That wasn't going to help me with that.
They got Chinese, too.
In Duolingo?
They got
Mandarin.
Okay, well, I don't want that lingo. Because if I do go to China, I'm definitely going for a very short period of time, and I will have translation. I don't belong in China. It's just not my thing. But neither is Russia, because apparently... It can go down at any moment. And you know I'm going to travel with Sean Harrison or Rob. You know what I mean? And it don't get no gayer than Sean. Sean going to show up in the silver sequin body wrap looking like a sushi ready to go to the disco.
With camel toe heels.
He did have camel toe last night.
His photo was fire. We need to put that in.
Anyhow, the two men were arrested. You know, Zhejiang and the boy. We're arrested and charged with violating a series of Russian laws, including positive depictions of LGBTQ+ people in the media and the dissemination of gay propaganda to minors. Now, in the years leading up to the couple's arrest, Russia had begun implementing several anti-LGBTQ+ laws, including these bans. Take a look. The gay propaganda law. This law, passed in 2013, prohibits the promotion of non-traditional sexual relations to minors. Critics argue that the law effectively bans public support or discussions of LGBTQ+ issues. Ban on adoption by same-sex couples. In 2013, Russia passed a law prohibiting same-sex couples and unmarried individuals from adopting children. And the criminalization of LGBTQ+ expression. And in 2020, Russia passed a law that criminalizes any public display of affection or positive representation of LGBTQ+ people, which can result in fines and even imprisonment. It sounds like Russia's probably like more strict than Dubai, right? Why do they always throw the kids in there to make LGBTQ some type of satanic ritual or something?
It's the easiest way to drag people onto the hate train because they make us out to be pedophiles or, you know, perverts. Like, that's always the easiest direction to go so that everybody's like, oh, they're evil. So,
well, just so you know, gay people don't like your kids. Gay people don't even, I mean, they ain't worried about your kids. I'm just saying, y'all be at the, y'all be over there with them Catholic priests, them babysitters, them boyfriends you bring in there in your house, giving your kids NyQuil so they can go to sleep early while your man. Oh, I'm just saying, I ain't always been rich and living in the hills. I've been around the streets. I've heard some of the experiences. You'll get a good top ramen video game and some NyQuil and leave them with any man you can find so you can be at the club. Yet you're so concerned about what the gays is doing. I don't know what you're doing in Russia because that's just not, I mean, I don't even know where Russia is. I've flown over it a few times, but I'm not looking to go there. I don't worry about people. I don't know why they worried about us. I don't see people looking for, at least the people that I talk to. We don't go out looking for what everybody's doing. We are focused on what's in front of us. I mean, we report on the news as part of work, but outside of trying to ban women from having babies or Black people from voting or Mexicans from coming into the country legally or you know, gay people from marrying who they want to marry or adopting children who need a home. If you have a home of love, why does that love have to be portrayed in a way that is going to love in an inappropriate way? I think that's just a way of gaslighting people into supporting the bullshit. And then you wonder why unfortunate situations happen where people shoot up things and blow up things and terrorize things. I'm not making an excuse for terrorism at all because my heart goes out to all the Russian people who are having to digest the visuals that I'm seeing on social media of violence being carried out at the hands of terrorists. And I think terrorism is horrible. But when you have countries that create and foster things that or ideals that target groups of people, that is a part of what breathes life into terrorism. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not making excuses for people who do terrorism because, again, I'm saying to you that when I look at what's happening in the world right now, whether it's Gaza, whether it's Congo, and now, you know, happening in Russia, terrorism is just, it's just unfortunately a part of the fabric of this earth. That being said, you know, when you go after groups of people, marginalized groups of people for no reason, just because it either, you know, fits some political narrative or it somehow emboldens your leadership position on, you know, cleansing the world, you're going to get unrest. I don't know. As a straight woman, when you see stuff like that, what do you think?
Me, it's crazy because I've only lived in like two major cities my whole life, Chicago and LA. And like, you don't realize how small minded the world is until like you see stuff like this, because I've just grown up with like gay, bi, all types of people, trans, everybody together. But it's sad. And the word terrorist is crazy because that's not even in Dubai verbiage. In fact, they don't even say terrorist for their laws.
To put this group, to put gay people in the same group as the people who went and shot up and killed over 130 people is insane. Mm-hmm.
As Al-Qaeda, Hamas, that's crazy.
It's insane. But, you know, in some of these countries, and we were talking about China in the other, you know, at the in the story, in some countries, you don't have news. You don't have social media. So you don't even know how people are digesting the experiences that they're having. That's why a lot of countries who are just very, you know, much on it, that's all they know. So if you teach somebody something and that's all they know and they don't know anything else and it's illegal to learn anything else, then you'll continue to foster a culture that buy into this. And, you know, it's horrible that we have to continue to see this, because what this does is it creates hate and it creates unrest around the world. And then people start to experience things in different pockets of the world that may not necessarily be there under this law, but may believe this law was the law that should be there. And then they start imposing the law. Okay. Now, in July 2023, 3 months after the couple's arrest, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a law banning gender change. Then in November 2023, Russian Supreme Court declared that LGBT movement as extreme. So now, as of March 2024, Russia has officially added the LGBT movement to its blacklist of terrorists and extremists. And after that, after last Wednesday's ruling, a Russian court ordered two employees of a gay bar called Pose to be held in pretrial detention. the Abbey would be on fire.
Oh, God.
Right?
Rounding everybody up.
The fans would pull up like they did on Diddy to Abbey and grab all of them.
Why you put Diddy in this? Why Diddy got to take a straight here?
Well.
See, this is the problem with people. And I'm going to get to Diddy because you'll be surprised at what I have to say about that. Is that in the news?
Mm-hmm. It's coming.
Okay.
Off.
Well, either way, the club's art director, Alexander Klimov. I don't have Duolingo. And manager Diana Kamilianova are accused of organizing an extremist organization. Now, both of them are facing up to 10 years in prison just for having artwork and having a gay club, a gay party. I know some promoters that should go to Russia. Well, anyway, this case is the first of its kind, and it could set a precedent against all the LGBTQ plus people in Russia. And so I don't think that that's going to prevent Vladimir Putin from getting elected, because he'd just kill anybody who run against him anyway. Well, I'll say allegedly, but
allegedly,
you know that that's what they say.
Yeah.
Does this mean all the gay people should leave Russia, or should they like rise up? Pause.
That's tough because I mean they're in a circumstance where I don't think there's much opportunity for them to make change when you live in a dictatorship like that. What can you really do? But the major issue to me is when you support laws like this that affect marginalized communities, don't be surprised if it hits you next. It usually starts with gay people, then it goes to women, then it goes to brown people. So like that's why I hate when black people say, you know, your fight isn't my fight. It is, because at the end of the day, when they start taking rights away from one marginalized community, it's just giving them the precedent to do it to the next. And they usually use the LGBT community as a road into it, because so many people support it who are in other marginalized communities. So it's sick. Mm.
If you were in Russia, after two drinks, you would get life in prison.
After one drink, probably.
I'll be your beard.
Right before the show, Rob said you need to start pursing his lips. Stop pursing his lips. Good luck with that. Lips unlocked. Okay. Good luck, Russia. Sending lots of love. I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, what can you do around the world, right? I mean, there's not going to be a global protest in response to this, because I feel like the world is also becoming very numb to everything. There's so much violence happening right now. It just makes me sick because it's unnecessary hate, right? It's just unnecessary. Not that there's any hate that's justifiable, but this is just insane. All right. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Speaking of sick people. Megan Fox, what's going on? Like, I feel like, and no disrespect to any of you, because my mama was white, so I can say stuff like this. I'm just telling you. White people be finding excuses and just be weird. Just, there's no black person on earth saying, I'm happy to run around and drink blood. Right?
Nope. Uh-uh.
Now, there are bloods in our community, but there's nobody that I know that's brown that's going, I can't wait to go home and drink my man's blood. But Megan Fox, we knew you were sick when you cheated on your husband, Brian Austin Green, with him. Not sure if that was a sexual thing or if you had a blood tie. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they were out and had too many Bloody Marys.
Oh, my God.
Well, either way, Megan Fox is in the news because she's defending her and Machine Gun Kelly drinking each other's blood. Now, Megan and MGK, wait, hold on, sorry.
We love the reason, bitch!
Shout out to Cardi, who was at the party last night. Let me do it one more time.
We love the reason, bitch!
Megan and MGK began dating in March 2020 and got engaged in January 2022. Now, around that time, Megan admitted that she and her soulmate began drinking a few drops of each other's blood, but it was only for ritual purposes. Here's what she told Glamour UK.
I guess drank each other's blood might mislead people, or like people are imagining us with like goblets and we're like Game of Thrones drinking each other's blood. It's just a few drops, but yes, we do consume each other's blood on occasion for ritual purposes. only. It is used for a reason, and it is controlled, where it's like, let's shed a few drops of blood and each drink it. He's much more haphazard and hectic and chaotic, where he's willing to just like cut his chest open with broken glass and be like, take my soul. Let me bleed on you. It doesn't not happen, let me tell you. Maybe not exactly like that, but a version of that has happened many times.
You're cute, but I ain't drinking your blood. I'm sorry. There ain't nobody on this earth, and there's one person I have a crush on who I won't talk about. I ain't drinking nobody's blood. I'm sorry. And in fact, after this new stomach, my digestive system has changed. I don't digest anything. Rob, Marina, are you drinking Max's blood?
No.
What if he said, do this in the name of love?
No. Even if I got a cut, I'm not like, ooh, let me see what it's giving. No.
Like, what if you drank your partner's blood and they cheated the night before and now you got chlamydia? You know?
Take the doxy prep.
See, Rob's mouth has had to come up with solutions for every scenario. That's a shame.
Pop those
Tell people
pills.
What doxy prep is, because that people don't know what's out there now.
Yes. Anytime you have a sexual encounter, you pop two pills and you won't catch gonorrhea or chlamydia.
Or HIV.
Well, that's prep.
I thought doxy prep had the prep in it.
No, it's two different circumstances.
So
two different
if you have
situations.
The Mai Tai, now it's only a Mai, no Tai. It's crazy. Well, after her 2022 confession, sometime in 2023, Megan and MGK called off their engagement. But a few days later, 3 years since they began dating, sources told People that the two are still together. But things are a little bumpy. I know that ain't no reference to cocaine. Because this is Hollywood.
I was thinking her bumps.
They say that things are a little bumpy, but one day they're up, next day they're down. Now, the source added that intensity is still there nearly 4 years into their relationship, but that's not necessarily healthy. While recently appearing on the Call Her Daddy podcast, Megan confirmed that she and MGK are no longer engaged, but working on their relationship. She said, as of now, I don't have a comment on the status of the relationship. What I can say is he is my twin soul, and there will always be a tether to him no matter what. Now, Megan also addressed her and MGK drinking each other's blood, and this is what she said.
Okay, here's the context. Everything is a matter of, like, what you're accustomed to mm-hmm. or what is currently, like, socially acceptable or normal. And back in like the 50s even, how many times did you see, like, probably never, but like on Leave It to Beaver or like movies from back then, or even the 80s, how many times did you see like little boys would go out with like their little pop guns and they would cut their fingers and like be blood brothers, right? And they're like, we're best friends forever now, and they would like smush the blood together on their fingers. That's not satanic, right? That's normal, and that's cute. That's sweet. That's like an innocent, like,
little bond.
Yeah, it's a little bond between kids who love each other. They have a pure friendship. It's like that, except instead of rubbing your fingers together, the drop of blood goes in your mouth. And I don't know why that becomes satanic. I understand people are like, hey, that's weird, but guess what I think is weird? I think it's weird that girls are out here letting guys in their mouth and they don't know these guys. You're letting somebody put their sperm in your mouth and you don't know what he does. He doesn't even have a job. You met him on fucking Tinder. He's an entrepreneur or whatever. He's in a startup. And you just let him sperm in your mouth. That's disgusting. That makes my back hurt. That makes me sweaty. So fuck you. You're so offended that I got a drop of Machine Gun Kelly's blood in my mouth. You have Brandon from Silicon Valley's sperm in your mouth. He didn't even buy you a nice drink.
That was Megan to the entire gay community, for sure. So your mouth was wide open, no pun intended. I mean, now when you hear something like that, does that make you reconsider your position on things? Because technically there is blood and cum. You know that, right?
What?
Yes. You didn't know that?
I know there's DNA, but I don't know there was blood.
Yes. Right? Isn't there blood in
then why it looks like milk?
You have the Googler Google.
Researcher.
Yeah. Is there blood in sperm? Don't put cum.
I have a sperm. Blood in the semen, is not normal, but it's common.
There you go.
Oh, if your sperm is brown, that means that there's blood
Listen. Because I don't think anybody that has digested sperm in the middle of a sexual experience has looked at the color or did some type of purple screening, right?
Don't be fucking rude.
It's for you, Megan. Why are you so rude about it? I mean, you do have a point. She has a point.
I feel her on it.
I've never heard of different tax brackets for sperm, though. That's crazy.
Well, I don't know if it's different tax brackets. I mean, I think there's rich people with bad diets, and then there's poor people with good diets. And,
right.
I mean,
she was talking about unemployed sperm.
I think she's just saying,
like,
don't judge her for sucking down her man's blood if they sucking down cum. So she's.
You could just run into somebody at a club, and you know, after two or three Hennessy's, I mean, you know, got a foster home in your stomach. But either way, look, all I'm saying is I'm running for city council, so I'm going to end this here. Because this can go anywhere. And I know that foster care line is going to go viral right there. But look, at the end of the day, I feel like we should all be evolving into more responsible sexual intercourse. You know I'm on PrEP. You know that I'm healthy. I have not been as promiscuous as I used to be. I'm over seven months sober. I'm more disciplined. You know, I did see something, side note. Somebody was talking online about dating. They were like, you have to be very intentional about dating. Mm. Did you know that? Mm. I mean, like, we're not intentional.
No, we're not intentional.
We're hopeful.
Yes.
Intentional is we got to clear everything and just focus on that. Just like I did with this donor dinner, just like I did with running for city council, just like when I'm really ready to settle down, and I think I'm really ready, you know, you have to focus on, you have to really be ready. Because I should have had a date last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd have been an expensive seat to buy, but I should have had a date, you know? None of you are worthy. Sorry. And I'm not drinking your blood. There ain't nobody on this earth right now that could say, hey, babe, pop this in your mouth. What? Are you fucking crazy?
It's
never.
Like, it's like a step beyond what.
Remember, can you imagine you having a conversation with your partner and they just stick their finger in your mouth and there's blood droplets on your lip now? No. Now your Fenty Beauty lip balm, that shiny, got droplets just dropping down?
Mm-mm. Remember that's Angelina nasty. And Billy Bob did it? They wore their blood around each other's
face. And they didn't last.
At least they weren't.
And then Angelina went over there and took a woman's man, and they didn't last. Right?
So I guess the blood ties.
Those that drink blood together.
Break up together.
I don't know what the rhyme of that is. By the way, I rapped at my party last night. Okay. Well, I think you're very beautiful. Mm-hmm. In a real manufactured kind of way. She doesn't really look like organic. Like, that's not a... That she didn't come out the cornfields looking like that, right?
No, but when she did come out the cornfields in Transformers, she was still beautiful. Yeah.
Right, but we don't know the work that happened before that.
I think she was already naturally beautiful.
I think she was natural.
I mean, every man loves Megan Fox.
She's stunning.
I think I met her one time in a parking garage. I mean, she was walking somewhere. It was a lot of years ago. All right, well, good luck. Both of you are just a bloody mess. Bye. You know, anybody that I ever talk about on the show is still welcome to come on the show. It's just a criticism.
I think they both should come on.
Yeah, together.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And drink each other's blood right there on the carpet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would love
it. Okay, how about this? Megan Fox, if you and Machine Gun Kelly come on the show, Robin Marina will drink your blood. Do it for the show. We ride or die. So you could drink Machine Gun Kelly's blood and you drink... No, you want to drink Machine Gun Kelly's blood and you just be a lesbian for a day.
All right.
Okay. You're so gay. You going to hell. If you go to Russia, you're going to jail. You would get life in prison by your second day.
You know that? Drink it? Would you take two drops of his blood?
First of all, the reconstructive reconstructive surgery that mouth needs. Are you crazy?
I would not do it.
Rabbi, yes, you would.
The camera's still filming, you idiot.
I would not do it.
Johnny, make sure you put that shot of his roundabout in his eyes. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. He shall not... let you lie to me. Well, Saucy Santana has a lot to say to all you women out there, and he's talking to you. He's the material girl is saying, the material girl, by the way, I hate saying that word because it's so gay. It's so gay.
I never.
Is that a gay person that made that up or a straight person?
I must be a gay person.
Oh, he made that up?
Yeah,
wow. Okay, well, Saucy, only you can get Jason Lee to say, hold on, let me say it one more time. Gwal. Is that how you say it?
I think so. It's a little gwal.
I only feel gay when I say gay shit girl. Like that. You know what I mean? Gwal, gwal, gwal. Rob, say it.
Gwal. I can't say it either.
Girl.
Let's all say it together. One, two, three.
Girl. Wow. Stupid.
This is the type of activity that broke up Destiny's Child, I promise you. Beyonce said, stop it. Well, Stassi Santana isn't saying stop it. He's talking a lot and he's catching some heat for it after issuing a PSA to all the independent women out there that are too proud or too scared to ask men for money. Now, a few days ago, Stassi shared a video to his Instagram story telling all the female bosses, the wannabe city girls, to stop being scared and slide your pride to the side like you slide your panties. Oh, Saucy, take a look.
And what's up with you independent whores? Scared to beg a nigga for money. Just like you slide them panties to the side, slide your pride to the side, baby, beg. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Who, bitch, when it comes to a nigga, I don't have nothing. And I ain't asking, I'm begging. Please, baby, please. I don't have it. These Princess Diana diamonds ain't cheap. Put up your fucking mortgage. Are you dumb? Are you stupid? Stupid? Brrr.
Well, Saucy, you know you caught some mixed reactions with some of the women, and you knew you was going to do that, but that's what we do when we go viral. You know, some of the women were agreeing that closed mouths don't get fed, and others are arguing that men need to stop speaking up for women and telling them what to do. Okay, now Saucy doubled down on his PSA, and he told the critics this.
I can't believe you fake whores in the comments. You fake woke bitches, babe. I make over millions in one motherfucking year. And when it comes to a motherfucking nigga, put it in my motherfucking hand, bitch. Everybody get motherfucking money to pay their own motherfucking bills. This is the message to you hoes that think y'all too independent and too bad. Oh, I ain't asking it. I take care of myself. All right, well, go ahead. I was raised by Trina, bitch. I want to spend your money, nigga, put mine in the stash, baby. Don't princess cut diamonds ain't cheap. Put up your fucking mortgage. Are you dumb? I hate y'all hoes. I hate y'all fake woke hoes, bitch. Y'all bitches walk around listening to us all day, recycling our motherfucking lyrics. Now nobody don't want to ask somebody for money. Go ahead, suit yourself. Shit, that's you. I'm begging. And money, motherfucker, to track money, bitch. My nigga just did free bands. Let's be very honest. My nigga just did free bands, bitch. I ain't have to parch my mouth in a coin and leave my motherfucking purse. But guess what? Just for you hoes, that's too bad and think y'all too bad in the motherfucking ass. Ass, babe. Ass, big, whatever y'all want to do. Bitch, I know so many women that just really be sitting up and be letting niggas play with them and letting niggas really be hard on the hoe. Bitch, you ain't finna be hard on me. Bitch, I don't give a fuck what I buy, what I got, what it look like I got, how lavish it look, how much see my pay my motherfucking bills. Step. Put the money in my hand, bitch. I need my rent paid. I'm having it hard, babe. I'm having it hard. I need my car note paid. I'm having it hard. I need deodorant. I'm having it hard. My baby needs diapers. I'm having it hard, bitch. I need my insurance on my car pay, babe. I'm having it hard. Whole time purse full. I'm going to start me a podcast because what are you scared for? It's literally, so. Even me being a gay boy and y'all being women, I done had women come to me. How do you ask for money? Ass. Bitch, open your mouth. Ass. Bad too. Bitch, how many times do a nigga ask you to fuck and ask for your pussy and you say no and he asked again and he asked again. He keep begging. And then you finally give the pussy up. Ask again. Now you begging. Now you got a Chanel. Now you repay, bitch, just ass. People really do be scared to ask people for money. I don't know if it be pride. I don't know if it be I'm a hustler. I'm a lady's independent. I don't know. My man, shit.
Okay, first, so many reactions to that. First of all, we need subtitles on anybody from Atlanta. Saucy has become one of the most entertaining people. I told you all the story before that I went to the rehearsal that Madonna had for a show she did at Pride in New York, and Saucy had performed with her, and his work ethic watching it behind the scenes was like, I get why people like him and he's doing his thing, but that shit was ghetto as hell. Saucy, I don't know what you said. All I know, this is to sum up what you said, get the money. That's it. I do agree with asking. Like, I know, even in, I'll make it a little cleaner version for the nonprofit, right? I hate asking for money. I'm, you know. And then last night, I was so moved by Rihanna being in the room. I told the band, do y'all know bitch better have my money? But that's probably the wrong thing to play at a fundraiser. But, you know, like, you do have to be, you have to be afraid to ask for what you want. And I do agree. Now, people crack jokes about me. Oh, Jason be flying them out. No, I don't fly them out. Sometimes they've had to get, that's the mode of transportation when you live far apart. But I feel like if somebody is being sexually involved with you, if somebody has the relationship with you, they should not be afraid to ask you for help if they need it. Now, paying bills, buying Chanel's, all that, now you're just a trick on the whore, right? Mm-hmm. If you're giving it up for a Chanel bag, just, I mean, I don't know. What happened to just getting a good job and everybody working and making money, supporting each other? No.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, we're living in the era of people not having jobs and like surviving off social media, TikTok, things like that. So I think everybody wants a quick bag. But he got a point. If you need some, you want some, ask for it. Closed mouths don't get fed. And I don't understand why people mad at him, because he's a guy. He's just giving a general message. I think that message could go across gender. Like, a dude can ask a girl for money. A dude can ask a dude for money. A girl can ask a girl for money. A girl can ask a dude. Just ask. If you need it, ask. Shit. If you can say whatever you want, but you can't say it, that wasn't entertaining.
No, that was entertaining.
It opened me. I want Saucy to get a PhD to the girls, because, and I want him to narrate my life and make my voicemail. I love his voice. But you really, like Steve Harvey used to always say too, like, you have not because you ask not. So like, I'm always really scared too to just ask. Like, even yesterday at the Rihanna thing, I was just scared to even, like, I just don't want to be a bother to anybody. But now watching this, I'm like, yeah, I watched this on this yesterday.
Saucy, you have to learn how to commercialize your mess, okay? Yes. Here's a book that you can come out with, then an Audible, then a tour, then a movie.
Merch.
Think like a trick.
Ooh.
Boom, bam.
Oh.
Produce it.
I will not produce that. I'm running for city council. I ain't got time to be teaching y'all the tricks and trades. Well, the trick, now that you sip the drink, you're not giving
with
trade.
The long straw.
Let me give you your flowers for trying. You get your flowers for trying to be a trade. You gotta trade it back. Either way, good luck, Saucy. And is that Fenty Beauty you're wearing? The gays be tricking me out with the makeup. At least you're not using that CVS makeup like one of these other broadcasters I know. Ooh. That's your shoulder off. Bye.
Ooh, mine too.
All right. Speaking of mess in Atlanta, Portia and Simon, their divorce is getting really messy. Now, I was just in Miami a couple weeks ago at Live Nightclub, looked up to see Jeezy. Jeezy passed me a bottle of champagne that I don't drink. And who's standing next to him? Simon. I didn't know Simon and Jeezy were friends.
What?
He was outside like that?
Oh, smoking a Cuban cigar at the club, popping bottles with Jeezy. Okay, Simon ain't going back to Africa. He don't care what Portia got going on. You could be the Real Housewives of Atlanta. He's the real street hustler of the Sudan. I don't know where he's from. All right, well, look, things between Portia Williams and Simon Goodaboboyeva. What the hell is his last name? Goya Badia. Continue to get messy. Now, in February, we learned that Portia filed for divorce from Simon after 15 months of marriage. Now, here's the couple in happier times. We always like a good photo moment. And I've seen them in person together. First of all, Portia's body snatched. And Simon looks like he got money, and maybe he did. Maybe it's just somebody else's. Well, either way, look.
Allegedly.
The announcement arrived on the heels of Simon being denied U.S. citizenship due to his criminal past with multiple fraud felonies. Now, check out my podcast. It's podcast number 32, actually, where we talked about all the details around this relationship. Well, now, since then, Portia and Simon have been firing endless petitions at one another. Now, days after filing for divorce, Portia warned Simon not to destroy, conceal, or alter any financial records, or he will face sanctions. But a month later, just days ago, Simon's now alleging that Portia brought an armed man, I'm going to say allegedly, brought an armed man to their marital home in Georgia. And he claims that she abandoned the home and eventually returned with a man visibly carrying a gun. I'm sorry. On two separate occasions.
Damn.
These assets belong. One allegedly happened on March 21st, causing Simon to call the police. Now, on March 24th, Simon alleges that Portia, her mom, and her mother's boyfriend broke into the home, disabled the security cameras, and tampered with evidence in the case. Simons also alleges that Porsche has been harassing him and having her associates call and threaten him to leave the home. Well, since Porsche filed for divorce, Simon alleges that she's been erratic, unstable, and threatening and harassing him, the house staff, and the minor children. So concerned for himself, staff, and children, he's asked the court for a restraining order. Porsche is now firing back at Simon in his claims, alleging that he blocked her from accessing the home by changing the gate code and the door locks, then fleeing to Dubai. Well, he must have fled to Dubai after I saw him in Miami because he was there. We know that Porsche just got renewed for a new episode or a new season of Real Housewives. Do you think this is storyline?
This is too much for a storyline. This is like the end of the road. Like, where does the story go beyond this?
But is this karma? Because you know they said that she allegedly took him from her friend Fallon. Yes.
How you get him is how you lose him. Mm.
So am I gonna lose my assistant by lying to me and going to work for somebody else the day he's supposed to be working for me? Because that's how I got Andrew. But Andrew's a great assistant.
He is. I remember when we had that lunch.
We made him leave his job that day.
He sure did.
Yeah. Well,
called a lot.
One business is trash is another business's treasure, I guess. Well, the two had been living in the home since before their November 2022 wedding, days before tying the knot. They signed a prenup, which stated that in the event of a divorce, Simon would vacate the home within 30 days of the filing. Now, Porsche filed on September 22nd, so Simon was due out by March 22nd. However, he requested an additional 10 days, which Porsche and her team rejected. I mean, get a man some time, right? Remember? Okay, I'm going to tell y'all a story.
Oh, Lord.
So I was living in a house out here with a friend of mine, and the people showed up and evicted me. They evicted us with a...
I remember this.
Not going to say his name, but we didn't know this person was a scammer. And I went to go move with him because I used to live with Rob, and I left Rob's house to go live with him. And we're there living and having parties and just being fabulous in the penthouse. And one day there was a knock at the door, and I opened the door, and it was the police. And they were putting me out right then. We had got evicted. He didn't tell me that he got evicted. He went to go visit family. He took all his stuff and left me there to get evicted. So I had to get all my things and get evicted and go. I broke in Rob's house that day.
Because I was out of town.
Because Rob was out of town and went back over to live with Rob. So I know the feeling of having to get all your things right away and get kicked out. Porsche, that's bad. Give the man some time. Not to mention the person that got us evicted also bought a restaurant at a club, at a hotel with a fake check and hired Rob. Made Rob quit his job to go and do it and never paid him, right?
Well, he asked me to quit my job, which I rejected because I felt like he was a scammer and he does owe me $7,000. So if you're out there watching this, I need my money.
You want to say his name? No.
Say it.
He's watching with bated breath. Anyhow, another person watching with bated breath is Simon, because he's also alleging that Porsche came to the home with an armed man, but she claimed it's because Simon blocked her from accessing her own home. So in these documents, Porsche's requesting an emergency hearing, claiming that Simon is being vindictive and retaliatory because she's divorcing him. And since Porsche's claims, Simon has now brought up a man Porsche's been allegedly texting in new documents. In these documents, Simon is warning Porsche not to destroy any text exchange with a man named Kevin Owusu-Ansa. Can we get a last name check? Because I'm sick of this. Tell the staff don't put all these names.
No, I love it. I love your attempts.
Well, Simon's demanding that she keep the texts and calls with him, plus her sister Lauren Williams, and materials with a woman named Karen McKinney. Because he's warning Porsche that she needs to keep all of her income and financial records intact as well. I don't know. I just feel like this is going to get really messy. But it's going to all play out well for us to watch on The Housewives of Atlanta.
Messy boots. I can't wait.
I can't believe Marlo, friend to the show, wasn't brought back.
Really?
You didn't know?
Is it not out?
Oh, yeah. Marlo's not coming back.
I love so is no more candy, no
Candy's
more Marlo.
Candy's gone. Marlo's gone. It's like, what is the show?
It's going to be boring.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think the show, I've said this before, Porsche, Kim Zolciak, NeNe Leakes, Phaedra. I said Porsche. Kenya. Atlanta will be on fire.
Fire.
I will make a personal appearance for 3 episodes just to drive the storyline. Period. Because I'll be like, oh my God, Kenya, good to see you. Wow, your skin's so much better than what the girl said. Right. So they said. Maybe throw Sheree in there too. You know, just I don't. Nah. All right. Well, good luck, Simon and Portia. Man, you guys had beautiful weddings and everything, and they didn't even have kids together, right? Mm-mm. Bye. Did he do it or did he not? Diddy's house was raided by the feds. Now, a lot of you have been on my social media asking me, demanding the audacity of a demand that I respond to you about what I think about Diddy. So here it goes. Diddy is in trouble and the world is watching. The heat is coming down on Diddy. So just the other day, Diddy's LA and Miami homes, yachts, and planes were all raided by the feds at the same time. The raids arrived just months after Cassie made allegations about sex abuse, sex trafficking, rape against Diddy. They were all followed by three more from women and a man alleging sexual abuse. Now, since then, on March 25th, Diddy had the internet in a chokehold. Baby, when I tell you that every one of my staff were glued to every moving part of this story and had to post it on Hollywood Unlocked for the whole world to see. And this happened when Homeland Security investigators from New York raided the moguls' homes as part of an ongoing investigation with assistance from HSI Los Angeles, HSI Miami, and local law enforcement agencies. There were like five to eight coordinated agencies in this whole thing. Literally, while they're raiding the houses, the planes are being landed and yachts are being aborted. All this is happening at the same time. Now, you know, the coordination of a strike like this had to be in the works for a while. Mm-hmm. Well, we've since learned that the searches are related to a probe alleging federal crimes against Diddy. Again, all are coming from the multiple lawsuits alleging sex trafficking, sex assault, and weapons possessions, all of which Diddy continues to deny being true. Now, let me stop here for a second and say something. It's important to note that Diddy has not been found guilty of anything, right? He's been alleged to have been doing a lot of things, and I'm not making an excuse for him. But when you see all of this happening and you see his children being put in handcuffs, we know that's part of the safety precautions, but we know that also didn't happen when Trump's houses were raided. We know that that didn't happen when Trump was indicted. We didn't see a mugshot of him. We didn't see his kids, Ivanka and Donald Trump Jr., who were probably a part of the whole conspiracy that he was involved with, handcuffed. And I just have to call out this disparities because we all know that the facts are 99% of what it looks like. So when you see houses getting raided, planes getting landed, kids in handcuffs, you assume guilt, guilt, guilt. It's just the way it is. And so when I was watching all this roll out, it was just sad to see, although if there's there, and if there's fire where the smoke is, smoky, it is what it is. Footage from these raids show agents with guns drawn entering Diddy's homes, including his LA mansion, where I've been to parties, and where they're escorting two of his sons, Christian King Combs and Justin Combs, outside in handcuffs. Let me show you a photo. You saw this. We know Justin had a DUI before, and I'm sure they handcuffed him, but I never thought I would see Justin in handcuffs because Justin and Christian are really good kids. But I guess in keeping the house safe, you go in and you lock everybody up in handcuffs to protect everybody while you're raiding. I don't know. But when you guys saw these images, what did you think?
Yeah, I don't really know the rules behind what they have to do. But I think in circumstances like this, they should approach it with some kind of understanding that these are public figures. So to me, the cuffing of the kids and having it in plain sight of whoever wanted to take those pictures was a little reckless, but yeah.
That was why I still can't believe that there's photos that exist of that, because I didn't even think about it. You're right. When Donald Trump, when I did the raid, nobody was photographed.
Well, we don't think about these things. We just live in the moment of what we're seeing at the time, right? Oh, we see people climbing up the Capitol to go kill the vice president and take over Congress and stop an election. Oh, my God. How'd they learn how to climb like that? I mean, those are the conversations, not the fact that democracy is under attack in a country where we're scoffing at those countries slaving, like still right now, the Libya slave trade or beheading children in the Congo or what you're seeing happen in Gaza. Like, that can happen in America. The fabric of democracy is literally that fragile. So when you see something like this, again, I'm not going to be one to rush to judgment. I've had my own story with Puffy. Not that he's touched me. Let's be very clear. He has not touched me, trafficked me, or nothing like that. But I've had... What are you laughing at?
No, I love
I had my own moment with him where I saw the dark side of Diddy. I told you this privately. You know, there was a video that surfaced a long time ago of me taking... I was in Diddy's home taking a photo. And as I'm taking the photo, he's walking in. And I said, would you like to get in the photo? And when he comes over and he's talking to me, you can't hear what he's saying. And a lot of you made jokes at the time saying, oh, look at Diddy trying to get at Jason. No, he was basically threatening me. You know, because he had a little too much to drink. And he was like, yo, I'm telling you right now, like, if you ever try me, you know, he'll do this, that, whatever. And I said, nigga, do you want a photo or not? Like, you in the photo or not? And we took a photo because I'm from District 6. I'm from the South Side, okay? Do you want to take a photo or not? He took the photo. And then afterwards, he was like, you know, he was very friendly. But my point is that I've seen a darker side of him and I've heard about it for a long time. And so when you give people that kind of energy, people can't wait for something to happen, for them to just dogpile on you. Now, I don't know if he's touching the producer's butt, the male producer's butt, and raping women here and there, but all these allegations are just piling on. And now it's for the courts to simmer through. But at the end of the day, the court of public opinion is where you get the beheading. And right now, Puff, I ain't one to say that you canceled, but I think you're pretty canceled. I mean, if you were a Spectrum account, it'd be shh. Okay. Now, HSILA was also seen taking boxes from the home, reportedly including a number of seized electronic devices. Now, they searched his home, went all through his safes. They took everything they could find. They even took the security cameras. Y'all got me thinking about how I can delete all of mine. Because, you know, the coming and goings, the people, it's really about telling a story, okay? I can tell you as somebody that's been to Diddy's homes multiple times for parties, that was the house that we all wanted to go to. I've seen young women and men scaling the wall to get in this man's house. The amount of security he's had to hire to keep people out the house, people still found ways to get in. Why? Because Beyonce's on the other side of the wall. Jay-Z's on the other side of the wall. Dave Chappelle, Nas, every big celebrity in the world is on the other side of the wall. And we all wanted to be in Diddy's parties. And let me tell you about this LA culture. People will sleep with anybody and do anything to get next to anybody. And I've seen it many, many times. I'm not saying that rape, sex assault, trafficking, all that don't happen, because it does. And that culture I just talked about makes that other stuff even easier to happen, because then the lines are blurry on where it was consensual or not. So I say that if Diddy did it, Diddy needs to be in prison. He needs to be under the prison and, you know, whatever. But I just feel like we have to be very careful not to cannibalize each other too fast before people have their fair due time in court. Because as you saw with Bill Cosby, yeah, he liked a pudding pop here and there, but we don't know if the pudding pops that were in them lawsuits happened or not. But everybody rushed to judgment. He was locked in jail and we thought the Cosby Show killer was on his way out forever. Now he out in the street somewhere, right? R. Kelly thought he could fly. He ain't flying no time soon. Now we know he did that because we saw the video. But R. Kelly, I can't throw you no bone. But some of y'all still played his music for years after you watched it. So the selective outrage needs to be called out. Well, Diddy's mansion in Miami and yacht were also raided. Take a look. This is the boat. And the popos is on the boat. Okay? Now, Diddy's Love Air LLC private jet was also grounded in Antigua. However, the officials in the Caribbean country searched the jet and Diddy wasn't present. Let me show you the jet. Now, some people are saying that the jet was sent in Antigua because when you fly private, you have to tell the FCC or whoever's on the plane, because then it would make the feds go get him on the plane. Now, with Diddy missing from his LA home, his Miami home and yacht and personal PJ, the internet went crazy speculating that Diddy was on the run. Eventually, Diddy was found, but this was a couple of hours later, and he was caught on camera pacing outside of a customs office at the Miami Opa-locka Executive Airport. Now, this is a private airport where people fly in and out of Miami. And officials there stopped him and his entourage until the HSI Miami arrived. Here's a video of him pacing.
I guess you wonder what's going to happen next, Diddy. I know.
Uh... Does all of this give you guilt yet?
Yes, to me it does. That stroll of depression and loss of hope is telling.
Depression? The man's mother of his children died.
Listen,
when my brother Rodney died, it took 10 years to get out of that. So we haven't, this man has not had a, let me be very clear. Because I know there are some people who think that I'm friends with Diddy or that I'm caught up in this celebrity because my show was on Revolt. My show got off of Revolt before all this happened. And I knew nothing was coming, but my spirit just told me to move on and I moved on. So I'm not defending him. But I will say, when a person's going through mourning, and remember he gained a lot of weight. I think he was drinking excessively. And then he had that whole transition to the love phase. Do you think what we're seeing is depression or guilt because he did a lot?
Of course, this is my opinion. I think it's guilt. I think we came up in an era where there was a lot of abuse of power behind the scenes. And we're now starting to see a big reckoning of that because people lived in this space where they thought they were never going to get caught. And they did it on camera, took pictures of it because they didn't think anything was ever going to happen. So that's why I think a lot of these people are existing in this space where they're like, damn, the hammer is coming down and there's evidence of things that have been done. So I think we do have to just, of course, wait until he has his day in court, but it ain't looking good.
It's definitely giving guilt. And when I saw that the plane was in Antigua, I'm like, oh my God, he's pulling a Russell Simmons and he's about to get caught.
Well, we don't know. Listen, playing devil's advocate. If I had a jet, I'd be sending my jet to go pick up people everywhere. So he could have been sending to. We don't know the whole story yet. And we have rushed to judgment. But I think, Diddy, that's because a lot of people don't like you. You know, you've done a lot of people wrong. Shine went to prison for all those years after you allegedly shot up the club when J-Lo was there. You know, Mace is somewhere dancing in trash bags by himself because you somehow fucked up the money. Danity Kane ain't Danity no more. And Aubrey O'Day is posting repetitively to make sure that you know and everybody else knows that she has allegedly she's been raped by you and other people. Women have been raped by you too. And now this boy said you and Cuba Gooding Jr. was in the studio playing with his booty hole. I mean, it's a lot going on. And Cassie opened up the floodgates for people to have the courage to go after you because once you settle that $25 million lawsuit, we need some money too. Pay up. Now, despite all the raids, no arrest warrants, criminal charges, or travel restrictions have been set for Diddy, meaning that he's free to roam and do whatever he wants. In fact, he can go to Bali and do yoga with Russell if he wants. You know, once you start making money and getting power, we should all have like a map of destinations you can go and be left alone. Because this world is getting kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Not Russia. Don't go to Russia.
Oh, baby, we not even. When I go back to Dubai, I'm gonna make sure that I have tell the pilot in the Emirates Airlines go around,
take the long route.
And if Rob's on the plane, go the other way. Well, new details have surfaced since the raids, but not before these attorneys and celebrities spoke out, like Cassie's lawyer, who rejoiced and basked in the glory of Diddy being grounded. Take a look. Cassie's lawyer, Douglas Wigdor. These last names are horrible. Who's Wigdor? I ain't never heard of no. Is this Game of Thrones? Anyway, responded to the raid on Diddy Combs and says, "We will always support law enforcement when it seeks to prosecute those that have violated the law. Hopefully this is the beginning of a process that will hold Mr. Combs responsible for his depraved conduct." Tyrone Blackburn, the attorney for Diddy's other accusers. Okay, this is the same one that tried to extort me and Tiffany Haddish, by the way. And this is the one that's going after T.I. and Tiny and also the Nicki Minaj, Kenneth Petty accuser. So let me just say this. I don't fuck with Tyrone Blackburn, and he already know. He knows, because I know his 1-2. So here now I don't know if this is real or not. Tyrone Blackburn is not an attorney that anybody, in my opinion, can trust because he is an ambulance chasing liar. And I've seen him single-handedly do dirt. Okay. And I actually put out video recordings of me talking to him on the phone and challenged him, and he withdrew and retreated because he's smart. Because Tyrone know the next time he play on my time, baby, you don't know what file I got on you. I'm waiting. Wait on it. That's one of my favorite songs by the Clark says, "You got to wait on Jesus." All right. Anyway, Tyrone, the attorney for Diddy's other accusers, stated that it's about damn time. Sometimes justice delayed is not justice denied, so long as justice ultimately arrives. I think any attorney that tries to rhyme should just not be an attorney. Mm-hmm. Now, former Danny Kane singer Aubrey O'Day, who I mentioned, has also been speaking against Diddy. She said this. She posted this TMZ post of Diddy, and the TMZ article title says, Diddy is in the crosshairs of law enforcement on both coasts of America as federal agents have descended on his home. And she said, what you sow, you shall reap. I pray this emboldens all of us victims to finally speak out on what we've endured. And look, Aubrey has been consistently speaking her part, and she's planning to come here on the Jason Lee Show. And I had to make it clear to Aubrey, because she wants to make sure that this is a fair space. We are not friends with Diddy. We are not on Revolt. We have no personal or emotional ties to Diddy. In fact, we have a job to do, and that's help her tell her story. Diddy was also invited. He turned it down, obviously. But yeah, you know, Aubrey, you're okay to come on the show. Now, DJ Academics began trolling Young Miami, and a fan had asked her, where's Carisha? And she said, right here, what's up? And Academics had a lot to say, and this is what he said. Confirmed cooperator right here. What you mean, you right here? Feds at all three of that nigga properties, and you ain't acting bad no more? I checked on Young Miami because I want to make sure she was good, and she said she was good, you know, because I just feel like she ain't got nothing to do with this. But is there something wrong with her standing by him and being silent while he's going all this and all these women are making these allegations? I mean, should she have retreated? Should the Carisha police said, please let me off a Revolt? Now, my answer to that is yes. I think she should. Her show, from a business perspective, should have left Revolt. Mm-hmm. And she, as a woman in the business, should have walked away from the relationship, because we all know from the interview she did here when she spoke on the relationship, she getting out of it what she wants, he getting out of it what he wants. But what else could you want when this is going on? So I think, knowing Carisha's heart and knowing that she's such a good woman, sometimes love don't have to live here if love is showing up like this, right?
Mm-hmm. But that's why they're saying now, like, JT has her solo career, because Carisha's just trying to keep it cute and quiet during this time.
I mean, Carisha's working. She's still Carisha. I mean, she does an episode once every 4 months. She needs to do more episodes. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. when she does episodes, they're colossal and get the internet going. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I just think that Diddy needs to be alone with his thoughts and his therapist right now, and like a trainer and a chef, and just take a deep breath and sit down somewhere and wait for all these lawsuits to come in. Well, also poking fun was our friend Wack 100. He had this to say. For Meek Mill's sake, I hope Diddy got rid of those photos and tapes. Wait, so where did this whole... I keep trying to track down where this Meek Mill component came in. So now they're saying Meek Mill, that either Meek Mill or Diddy... Who was busting it open for who?
That's that audio tape apparently that's going around.
Oh, where he was saying Daddy?
Where he's apparently getting banged out by Diddy. I don't... This so... It's,
what?
But it's
that's
like,
wait,
how
said.
Can you
prove Meek is the
no.
But how can you prove that it's an audio tape? That's like, why are people
I'm
acting
sorry.
Like this is?
I'm sorry. Listen. First of all, why'd they pick Meek Mill? Who did that?
Right.
I don't believe I've heard or seen anything from Diddy or Meek getting banged out by either. And I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. There is that video of Diddy saying, hey, daddy, hey, daddy, hey, daddy. And I think he was talking to Fabulous or somebody. They were in a group setting or whatever. People from that earlier generation, the cat daddies, the daddies of it all, ain't like daddy bang me out, daddy. It ain't Rush abandoned me for life being LGBTQ daddy. That's just how people talk. So I think you can take three lies and a truth and make it all into a story that people believe. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that Diddy ain't been getting banged out or banging people out, because I don't know what Diddy's hole's been through, and I don't want to know. I have not bore witness to it. Don't know. I wish that take that. It's probably not a quote that you want heard around Diddy at this moment in time. And you know 50 Cent was going to jump in. One of his biggest critics. Now, this is one of the things 50 Cent. Now it's not Diddy do it, it's Diddy done. They don't come like that unless they got a case. Then he said this. He put a milk carton box of Jay-Z. Those of you who are from a younger generation that don't know this, when we were younger, they would put missing kids on milk carton boxes. How did they have time to put the kid on a box? The kid must have been missing for a while. Because, you know, milk spoils. Put that back up. This photo, it says, anybody seen Jay? LOL. Puff said the nigga ain't answering his phone. Jay-Z do be hanging with Diddy a lot. I told you, I saw Jay-Z at Diddy's house multiple times. I was there. Matter of fact, there's a video of me saying hi to Jay at Diddy's house. They friends, but you could be friends with anybody. I don't know. All right, well, look. This next video that 50 posted, let me first put a disclaimer that AI is real. And that although I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, and although he could say something wild like this, I don't believe that Donald said this. Take a look.
Puffy, you stupid ass nigga. I told you stop fucking with R. Kelly. I said, grab them in the pussy. Don't kidnap the pussy. They raided your shit, I see. I got a courtesy call when they raided my house. You really fucked up, my nigga. Can I get a copy of the Meek Mill sex tape, please, nigga.
Even if we heard Donald Trump say that, he would still get voted for.
Oh yeah,
oh,
absolutely,
my God.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They would still vote for him.
It's funny.
They would buy them gold shoes and still vote for him.
Well, despite these memes, Diddy's lawyer Aaron Dyer said that they actually didn't know the feds were coming. Dyer also called the raids a witch hunt and insisted that Diddy's being railroaded by the feds. Meanwhile, Benzino, Candace Owens, and Suge Knight all reacted far more critically. This is what Benzino had to say. One thing about our culture is they can't wait to grab their popcorn and watch a black man go down, all while the powers that continue to destroy us sad as fuck. Candace Owens, the feds are currently raiding Diddy's house. They already knew what he was up to. But he is going to be the fall guy so that they can protect the people at the top of the ring. They are raiding his home to hide evidence, not to find it. That's how this works. People, the raids today wasn't for Diddy. It was to destroy the incriminating stuff on powerful men. Epstein, Diddy, Clive Davis. Damn, Clive took a stray.
That's what they're saying.
There's two more names that I would like to throw in that cocktail. I'm just going to wait for the shoes to drop. Because I just report on the news. Sometimes I break it, but those two names that need to be in that cocktail right there. Actually, three. This is a black one, too. Well, these details have surfaced, or new details have surfaced since Diddy's raids, like his alleged drug mule being arrested when the feds intercepted the plane at Miami Opa-locka Executive Airport. Now, during the raid, 25-year-old Brendan Paul was arrested on two separate cocaine and marijuana candy charges, both felonies in Florida. Let me show you a picture of the mule. Now, it's something when the mule was a young white boy who looked like, what is the eyebrow cut up for? He giving me that crisscross 90s. Jump. Well, Brendan couldn't jump out the plane before the police got there. Now, he was previously alleged to be Diddy's drug mule by producer Rodney Jones, a.k.a. Lil Rod, who accused Diddy of playing with his butt. Diddy, he was accused of sex abuse and harassment by Lil Rod, alleging that Brendan was Diddy's confidant and, more importantly, someone who allegedly handles his drugs and guns. Here's photos of Lil Rod included in the lawsuit. And that's them walking together, sitting together. Doesn't show them doing anything, but nonetheless, they're photos. Hours after the raids on Monday, Diddy's sons Christian and Justin separately returned to the L.A. mansion to gather boxes and luggage. Now, paparazzi caught Justin arriving around 10 p.m. and his younger brother arriving a couple hours later with his girlfriend. A day after the raids, it was learned that Diddy was completely let go of Revolt or sold his shares. We don't know, and I was gone before it happened. Remember, he stepped down as chairman last November amid the lawsuit and claims by Cassie. And now Diddy's no longer a part of the brand in any form or fashion. He sold the company and all of his shares to an unknown buyer for an unclosed sum of money. And it said that the person involved or that bought it is black because it's still a black-owned company. Now, the owner is being kept anonymous, but has a deep passion for black culture and plans to make a formal introduction in the coming weeks. Could it be Bob Johnson?
Tyler Perry?
Robert Smith.
Tyler Perry. I don't see Tyler Perry touching this.
50 Cent.
Ooh.
That would be straight out of the Power Book, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Best chess moves.
Diddy, we're watching. I'm not going to send prayers to nobody other than the children, because the children, in my opinion, at least as of right now, are innocent in all this. I know Justin. I know Quincy. I don't know Christian as much as I know the other two. I know the other two boys. I've known Quincy for probably 15 years. Those are good kids. I would be devastated if they were wrapped up in whatever they're saying you did. But there's so many other people that are close to him that are, I'm telling you, I don't see this ending any way other than nasty. Because those parties now, I'll tell you, I've been to those parties. People are popping pee to get in them parties and to be around these people. Let's make no mistake about it. Your favorite celebrity is getting vagina and bussy thrown at them all day long. So this is where you have to be more responsible and careful these days. Because let me tell you something. I'm going to start a whole text thread, screenshot it, put it in files before we even... You're not about to get me. Now, if you try it, you could try it. And people have tried to extort me. You've said whatever you... Bring it on. Because I'm telling you, if I was Diddy, the silence is deafening, Diddy. You need to step up and get in front of a camera and fight for your freedom and fight for your voice. Because the voiceless, they speak it for you. And right now, it's loud. We all hear it. So we're watching. Take that. It's time for thoughts and prayers. Did he do it or did he not? 50 Cent really is the king of the trolling. But all memes and jokes aside, the world truly wants to know the answer, especially after the Bad Boy founder had the internet glued to their phones this week. Just a few months ago, Diddy was telling us to act bad. Meanwhile, he was out here being accused of really acting bad. The song just kind of hits different now. Many of us didn't see Puff Daddy being raided by the feds on our bingo cards, which adds weight to Benzino's comment about seeing another legendary black man being taken down. Seeing how aggressive the feds rushed in and how the headlines emphasized their actions, it's hard to watch and remember he's innocent until proven guilty. Although the court of public opinion has already formulated his verdict, we have to let things play out in the judicial system, and for whichever crimes he's found guilty of, may justice prevail and the victims be vindicated. And may Portia and Simon figure out this divorce battle too. Things have gone from fans doubting the validity of their split to them now just hoping they settle and move on. The claims each of them have thrown out are just messy. Simon damn near claims Porsche's a terrorist. Meanwhile, Rush is out here calling the gays terrorists. Remind me never to send Rob there on a project. Not only are they throwing the book at people for cannabis-filled vape pens, but they're also ordering serious prison time for just being gay. And if we can't go to Rush and be gay, then where the hell can we go? Shout out to Hazel from Bella Noches. And shout out to Saucy Santana trying to put the girls on and teach them how to keep a bag. Although a lot of women didn't like the messenger, he was dropping gems. Because what y'all grandma used to say? Closed mouths don't get fed, honey. But if your name ain't Megan Fox or MGK, then you might want to keep those lips tight. We ain't sucking no blood over here. Right, Rob? Almost forgot. I'm about to be a councilman, so we're just going to keep on rolling. Keep up with my journey on Instagram and stay tuned for more shows because we're going to keep coming back. Listen, we just had a safari here on the show. And those of you who are afraid of cancel culture, since that's what Diddy's going through right now, let me be very clear. This is why I say Diddy need to step up and own his shit. I had a viral moment from hell with safari and you all loved it. Said I was on cocaine, said I was on heroin, said I was like, no, I was on 1942 on vacation in Mexico with a sombrero on. Well, anyway, you can go Google and find that because the trolls let me have it. Y'all caught me slipping one time. But look, I couldn't have safari on my show and not take a shot at myself by bringing up that moment. And baby, it was so hilarious. The final edit had me peeing in my pants. Take a look.
You being messy makes you a lot of money, though.
You're going to pay for what you're about to do. No, you're just going to keep continuing because I'm already prepared for it.
No, I just remember we were on live. You had to interview me. I'm like, this guy Jason is crazy. But you was lit by the pool, so I'm like.
First of all, let me tell you, we already prepared for this moment because the one thing Safari is never going to do is try to one-up me.
We had a moment where I was in Mexico on the... I got the gay one because what I did was gay. We went viral because I had a preset live interview of Safari while he was at the BET Awards. And when I went live, I had already had so much 1942 by the man selling sombreros that I went live and said something highly inappropriate.
I don't remember what you said. I just remember you was like drunken in heat. And I just was like, I don't know. I feel like I kind of deal with stuff like that well, because I'm just like, you know,
You can go back and research the video.
You hit me like days later and you was like, yo, bro, everyone is telling me what I did. I'm sorry, I don't even remember that.
So I wanted to first apologize to you in your face and say thank you for being a friend. You know what's so crazy is I apologize to you for talking about your penis on live during BET Weekend, and Nicki Minaj hasn't apologized for almost stabbing you and destroying your car. It's like, how do you feel about that?
Yo, what? Oh my God.
The Jason Lee Show is just special. Shout out to Wendy Williams for all her inspiration. It's written all over our show and every show that's like it. Damn. Anyway, y'all, that's the end of the show. Make sure you follow us everywhere on social media. Until then, I'm about to go see Cam Newton. I'm out. Peace. The Jason Lee Podcast.